This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Or maybe there are things you can't see, and all those things are happening to bring a better ending. Someday, somehow, you'll see, you'll see. Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? 'Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Hi, I am so happy to be here today. When I was asked to do this show, boy, was I overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed because I thought, think about this for a minute. If you were in my shoes and someone said, what is the most important thing, the most important thing you'd want people to think about or do that would change their lives, what would you want to say to those people? Then the question is, you know, who are you and what are you made of? During the meeting of doing the show, I was asked or told that I was a risk taker. And I'm like, I'm not a risk taker. And they said, yes, you are, Sue. Look what you do. Look what you've done. And I'm like, wow, I guess I'm a risk taker. Calculated, but a risk taker. And aren't we all, every single day of our lives, we take risk and we choose. We have to make choices every day. So then I said, okay, what's my show going to be about? What's it going to be about? So what my show is about is people in pursuit of passion and purpose, because that's what I'm about. I'm about passion and I'm about purpose. And if you think about it, we can work our entire life and be financially stable or set, but still feel as though our life is empty and lacking importance. And doing something significant is such an important thing. It makes life worthwhile. In my life, I just want to make a difference. How about you? I hear people who talk about motivation and say, have a dream, work towards the dream. I believe that, and I agree with that. As long as the dream is related to what God's dream is. I have two children, and my children, I've always told them, you know, you were created for a specific purpose, and I'm looking so forward to seeing that purpose completed, or the journey of watching how it blooms with my kids, and they are following that, and they are doing wonderful things, and it's only going to get better as time goes on. Then I hear people say, set your goals. What do you want to accomplish by when? And that's a good one, too. We do need to have goals. We want to check our goals to make sure they're not self-seeking. Then we work backwards the plan, and what that means is that, you know, you have to work backwards. You have a goal. You set it out there. You've got a target. And then what you do is you have to work backwards to figure out how you're going to get there. I have many goals in my life. I'm a goal-oriented person. So when I'm doing this, I'm looking at this big, audacious goal out there, and it's a big elephant. It's just a huge elephant, and I'm wondering, okay, how do we do this? One bite at a time. So when you're working backwards, the plan, so you know what you need to do, you've got a weekly plan, a daily plan, an hourly plan. Staying focused on the goal. And the pain has to be worth the gain, whether it's losing weight, whether it's changing jobs, whatever it is, the pain of making a change or doing something different has to be worth the gain. So why do I want to do this program? Well, my desire is truly to help people. I just want to help people. I've got a lot of experiences under my belt, not all the same as what you've got, but I do have quite a few, and I've learned from them. And I do say that our attitude determines our altitude, because we have a choice every minute of every day, and we can choose how we're going to respond to what comes our way and the people that come our way. Not everybody is always nice. So we have a choice in how we're going to deal with those people and the things that come our way. I want to give people hope. There is light at the end of the tunnel. There's been times where I just looked up and said, God, why me? And you're giving me more than I can handle. Even though I know you say you won't, I feel like you are. I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what to do next, Lord. Please show me. And then people or something will come my way and show me the light. And sometimes being calm and just standing still for a minute and listening, that's the hardest thing I think in the world for me. We need to challenge ourselves daily and take risks. So that's what my show is about. And I'm hoping you'll stay tuned, and I hope you're going to learn. And I'm looking forward to callers, so you can call in and talk to me. We're going to have guests on, and I'm looking forward to that, because everybody has a life experience. Everybody has something to offer everyone else, no matter where you are in your life. You've got something to offer, and it's wonderful to be able to share those experiences so that we can learn instead of having to go through those muddy waters all by ourselves, or maybe we can just save someone from going through a hard time. And I'm so looking forward to it. I'm so excited. But it's a big deal to me, a really big deal. And I hope you'll stay tuned and learn right along with me.
Sue, someone might say, well, I know that name, Sue Freeze, and I know you own a company. And so you kind of are living a really nice life. What does it have to do with me if I'm going through a lot of pain in my life, if my husband has been laid off and I've got teenage kids who are rebellious and my life just seems like it's hopeless and a mess? What can Sue Freeze say to me that really applies to me? How can she know what I'm going through?
Well, because I'm a human person and I put my pants on just the same as everybody else, number one. Number two is that I have gone through quite a few things. And I would just say that even though maybe it's not exactly the same circumstance, that I still feel pain, and I felt lots of pain. And I've had people that have been not exactly gracious and nice. And, you know, things come our way and there's a reason for everything, and we don't always have the answers and we don't always know why things happen. And that's the same with me. But I can tell you that there is, we don't always know the reason for things happening, but there is a reason. And my reason for doing the show is to walk alongside, to have a moment in time where we can be together and connect. And hopefully I can help you find peace or some type of light. And I can relate to quite a few things. And if I don't have the answers, whether it's in the workplace or in my personal life, there's resources out there that can help us get through a tough time. You know, God is a wonderful resource, and he's always awake. He's always there and always available. He won't come down and pluck us up. We have to reach up. So I would just say that for those people that are going through those pains, I'm right along with you. I hurt right along with you. But there's choices, and we just need to know what our choices are in order to make a better decision. Knowledge is power, and for lack of knowledge, people perish. And I don't want anybody to perish. I want people to proceed, progress, do better. Sometimes it's as simple as an ABC: admit, believe, and commit. And we have to know what to admit, how to believe, and what to believe. And then what to commit and how to do that. Sometimes those are the most difficult things, but they seem so simple sometimes.
Some people will see a person or a couple who really seem to have it all together. And it causes us to think, oh, somewhere out there, there is a pain-free life. And if I could just find it, I would be happy. Is there a pain-free life?
Wow, if there is, I haven't experienced that. You know what? I'm thankful for everything I've had to go through so far. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful because if you don't have downs, you don't really appreciate the ups, you know? So I'm thankful for the downs. And I have some friends. For instance, I have a girlfriend right now who just got diagnosed with breast cancer. And she's going to go through, and she's going to be on my show, actually. She's just a delight. But she's going to have a double mastectomy. And, you know, why, God, why? You know, this woman, she's just vivacious and she's young and full of energy and everything, but she's going through this. And, you know, she's on Facebook and she's explaining her emotional journey. She's explaining what's going on with her. And I admire her so much because she's sharing her story on Facebook with everything. And her name is Rhonda, and I just love her. And this Friday is going to go have her surgery. And just today I got a email from her daughter and from her, you know, stating, you know, where they are right now and everything. And it's just, it's so amazing.
You know, you say that you're thankful as you look back for what you've gone through, for the downs. But it is human. It is natural when we're in those downs. We're not always thankful when we're in the midst of it.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Some, you know, we'll get into that more as far as, you know, my life story and everything, because I know that, you know, the only reason I would share some of the humility that I've experienced and the vulnerability that I've experienced, the only reason I would even want to expose that to people that are listening is to show them that there is, you know, there is another side, and you know, we can get over it. And we can move on. And there's healing. The Lord has just an amazing healing power over us. And, you know, through these times and everything, the devil comes in and just, you know, kind of makes us feel like we're not worthy to receive God's love. And that's the biggest lie of the devil. And I would just say that we are worthy because God says we're worthy. And in that worthiness is where we find hope. And we find the belief that we need in order to endure whatever comes our way.
No pain-free life. What about a perfect pain-free marriage?
Wow, I don't think that, you know, I think that there's happy people out there, and that's because they choose to be happy, but I don't think it's without work. I think that any relationship out there takes work. You know, even to find time to be alone with God takes work. So I don't think that's true, but I'll tell you what, you can sure tell when someone is getting along. I mean, just look at them in the restaurant. You can see who's been married for a long time and happy, and you can see people that they're just eating their meal, but there's no interaction, there's no connection. And it saddens my heart to see that, because God wants so much more for our relationships.
What do you want the program to bring to maybe that couple that have been married a long time and they have grown apart?
Hopefully a new understanding, and hopefully a desire to connect. You know, because men and women are different. You know, I love that saying about, you know, men being microwaves and women being crockpots. That is so real, and that's so true on one area. But I would like to see that marriages be more connected to where we can just love each other. And I taught a Bible study on marriage at our home. And, you know, I was trying to come up with a definition of love, and I came up with a definition that it's serving the other and putting the other person before yourself. To me, that's the true definition of what love is. It's where you're selfless. You put the other person first. And if both people are putting the other person first, really getting to know that person, intimacy means into me see. So I would just like to see those marriages warmer. So you're listening to Sue Freeze on The Sue Freeze Show. KKLA 99.5, intersection of faith and reason. Tune in for more to come.
We're here every week at the same time, and you're going to be talking with people about different issues of life. But what about you? One of the big questions that you like to ask people is not, what do you do? But you like to ask them, who are you? So I think it's very fair for us to begin by asking you the question and letting you answer it. Who are you, Sue Freeze?
Wow. Yes, I do like to ask that question, and it's amazing the response I get on who are you. I did that with Regis Feldman, and he just kind of was stifled. He just stood there and was like, wow, I don't know how to answer that. How would you answer that if I asked you that? How would you answer? Who are you? Who am I? Well, I don't even know how to answer that other than to say, been through a lot in my life, and who I am is accumulation of all those experiences that I've experienced. And like I said before, I'm very thankful for my experiences. Who I am now is different than who I was even 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I am a mother. I'm a wife. I'm the termite lady. That's who I am. It's what I do. The termite lady has been a big deal to me. Running a business and having 50-odd employees and 7 offices has been an incredible journey. I used to be heavily involved in my church, in ministry, and when I bought my company, I had to put all that on hold, and I thought, boy, how is God going to be happy with me not serving in that capacity? And what I realized is now is that my company and my employees are my ministry, and even my customers to some degree. We have quite a few customers that you know, it's just amazing to hear them. When I get to finally talk to a customer and they call me and talk to me, a lot of times they'll open up and say things to me too. And it's just amazing that I can be there to be able to listen to that and talk to them. And employees, same thing. It's just so amazing to see God work and to see people's lives change in front of you, you know, from the beginning to current. So who am I? I'm a person who, I'm a big cheerleader. I love to cheerlead. I love to encourage. I like to watch people be better, do better. At times I feel people will tell me I'm a perfectionist, and I would say that I'm not a perfectionist because I don't believe it. That there's no one perfect but Jesus, and I always put up my hands and say there's no holes in my hands. So I'm not Jesus, and I'm not perfect, but I'm striving for excellence. And what that means to me is that no matter what I've done, no matter what accomplishments I've done, and I do make mistakes, and hopefully we learn from those, that I strive for better every day. I'm striving for better, personally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. I'm always constantly trying to do better than I did the day before. People say I'm highly competitive, and yeah, I would say I am competitive, but I think I'm more competitive with myself. If I did this today, I want to do that tomorrow, and I always want to do better. I water ski, and I always want to do more in my slalom skiing. I want to get another buoy, or I want to go faster, or cut off some more of the rope, or something, just because I want to do better than I did the day before. So I do believe that God works through us. I think God puts people in our lives because God works through people. And I think that I've just been amazingly blessed, especially right now this morning driving in. I actually called people that have, you know, really invested in my life. And I was emotional, and I was just telling them, thank you. Just thank you for being in my life, being a support to me. It's just so wonderful to have those people in your life. And if you think about your life, there's people that have invested in you. And I would just suggest that if you can, in the next hour or day, you know, take the time off to just make a quick phone call. Don't do an email. Make a phone call and connect with those people and just tell them thank you for being there for you. Thank you for being in your life. I think it's a wonderful thing. You know, in the Bible, it says, in all things, give thanks. In all things, give thanks. And we should, you know, every prayer that we pray, we're supposed to pray with thanksgiving first, thanking the Lord for what he's done for us already, because he's done so much for us already. And then to go from there, and from the thanks, then we can ask for what he wants, because he says, you know, ask and you shall receive, knock and the door shall be open, seek and ye shall find. I believe that we have to know what we're asking, and we have to know what we're seeking, and make sure we're knocking on the right door. But he's there, and that's a wonderful thing.
Sue Fries came from this perfect family, right? Your growing up years?
Oh, absolutely not. I don't know how much we want to get into that. But, you know, early on, I pictured me speaking to large groups of people, and I had no idea what that was going to look like or what it was going to do. And now, you know, I'm over the 50 line, and I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm proud of it. I'm in the second half of this time. Anyway, I always pictured me speaking, and people say, well, what are you gonna speak about? And I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna speak about. I just know I'm supposed to speak. And you know, it's funny, because I look in the moon, and when there's a full moon, if you look at the full moon, I see a woman singing, or she's got a mic. And I ask other people if they see that, and people don't see that. I'm the only one that sees that. And I just think that's odd that not everybody sees that. Oh, well, I guess not everybody sees the same things. I imagine that. Anyway, through the years, I've experienced divorce with my mom and my dad. They were married 20 years and they got divorced. And at that time, you know, my dad was kind of like not very happy. He was an angry guy, and he wasn't happy at work. He wasn't happy at home. My mom was a very loving, caring mom. I wanted to go to YMCA camp, and I don't remember really my age. I think I was around 11. And my mom says, we can't afford to send you, Sue. We can't afford the camp. The only way you can go is by you selling these toffee peanuts. You know what I'm talking about, those canned toffee peanuts. I went around every day after school, and I sold, I can't even tell you how many cans of toffee peanuts I sold. And, you know, I learned a lot about sales and having doors, you know, shut. Of course, they didn't slam it in my face because I was young and, you know, really skinny girl. And people felt sorry for me, I think. But it didn't matter. I did it. I had a challenge and I did it. I realized something new about myself that I could do that. And then I went to this YMCA camp, and it's YMCA camp, which I thought was weird because they do have YWCA, but I went to YMCA. Anyway, it was fun. I ended up on a hilltop, and I accepted the Lord there, and it was the most amazing thing. And every time I smell pine trees now, I think about that moment in life that I received the Lord, and the smell of pines just brings back memories for me. Came back, and I was so excited because I felt like I had gotten the world's answer, that everything was going to be fine now, and my family was going to be just fine. And I walked in the door, and I was all happy, and my mom says, "Susie, I need to speak to you in the bedroom." And I went, "Okay, Mom." You know, so I went into the bedroom. My mom closed the door. She sat down all serious, and she says, "Honey, I just want to tell you that your dad and I have decided to get a divorce." And I said, "No, you can't do that. You can't do that. I just got it all figured out. I just received the Lord, and I just told him all my problems, and he's going to fix them all, and you just can't do this." And she says, "Honey, sorry, but we've already made the decision, and we're going to go ahead and go with this." And I was so devastated. So my high went to a real low real fast. And I thought, how can this happen? You know, I just gave my heart and my life to God, and now this. And, you know, God can't force us to do things. You know, he can guide our ways, and he can do that. But he's a gentleman, just like he gave us free spirit for us to choose him. We have that choice to make, that we can choose him or not. And boy, I can't imagine not having him in my life. I just can't. It would be such an empty hole in my heart. But with that all being said, after that moment, my mom and dad went through with it, and I got to see my dad every other weekend. We went to the river, and that's when I learned how to ride a motorcycle and all these things. And my mom got married, my dad got married, and all I wanted then was for them to be happy. It wasn't about me, it was about them being happy. And there was a lot of struggles there because I had a stepfather and I had a stepmother, and the stepmother never wanted kids and didn't like me. And I had a little sister that I was protecting and loving and taking care of. So there was a lot going on in that whole thing.
In the dictionary, there are a lot of words that begin with re.
Yep.
And for today, what is the re word?
Well, I wanted to go from A on through the alphabet, but today I'm going to start, because this is a special show, with rebirth, which is the B. And rebirth, because this is a whole new segment of my life. It's a whole new season, being on a radio show, having a radio show, impacting more people than I've been able to impact in the past, letting my God, my Heavenly Father, lead whatever conversation, whoever's going to be on the show. It's rebirth for me, and I'm hoping it's going to be a rebirth for those that listen. It's going to be new set of eyes. I wrote this morning. I get up every morning, 3:30, 4 o'clock, and I wrote this morning something that you are where you are because you choose to be there. And I have to clarify that, because not always, you know, if you've got cancer, you didn't choose to have cancer. But there's a lot of times we get in ruts, and we're there because we choose to be there, and we do have choices. We do have decisions, and there might be hard ones, but we have choices that we can make to get us out of situations. But because of comfort levels, we stay where we are. And I'm just going to encourage you to get out of that. To make a choice, to make a difference, and to choose to make a change in your life, a shift. It might be a minor shift that can make a huge difference. They say if you want something different to happen, do something different. And I'm encouraging you, I'm prompting you, dare to believe and choose to make a change. And the change is going to be a good one. So here we are again, Sue Freeze Show. This is Sue Freeze talking, KKLA 99.5, intersection of faith and reason.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives, like Electrogun, that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals.
microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show. Here's Sue Freeze.
My show is about people in pursuit of passion and purpose. If you think about it, we can work our entire life and be financially stable or set, but still feel as though our life is empty and lacking importance. We've created a place for you to talk about real life, seeking passion and purpose. Here's our place for you. Today we have a special guest and a friend of mine. Her name is Melody Rossi. She wrote a book, and it's called May I Walk You Home, and it's sharing Christ's love with the dying. Melody was a professional opera singer who performed with numerous opera companies throughout the United States during her career. She was also a frequent soloist at the Crystal Cathedral, and her voice was heard for nearly 20 years as the angel in the glory of Christmas. I've been to that show. It's great. In 1994, she suffered a serious surgical error that dramatically interrupted her career and nearly took her life. It took her a full year in bed to recuperate. But during that time, the Lord became more real to her than ever before. Little did she know that He would use her illness to help her minister to her own family members. During a space of just 28 months, Melody's mother, father, and stepmother all became terminally ill. None of them were believers before their illness, but each one came to faith in Christ before dying. Melody says that the deathbed is the most fertile of all mission fields, and her book is a practical tool for anyone who is facing the death of a loved one or friend who does not yet know Christ. Melody is also the founder and executive director of Cloud and Fire Ministries, a Christian outreach to youth from gang communities in San Fernando Valley. In that capacity, she is an evangelist and urban missionary. Melody, it's so good to have you here today.
Thanks, Sue. It's my privilege to be here.
Wow, your mother and father and stepmother, not just one. I've had my mother and father, but wow, three. That must have been really, really, really hard for you.
That's right, all three of them. Sometimes three of them were in the hospital all at one time, and it was pretty brutal, but we made it through.
What was their relationship to God before that?
Well, a lot of times people ask me that because they want to know if maybe their relatives, their loved ones are too far gone. And let me tell you a little bit about my dad. My dad had mafia connections. He was in the bar business, and during his life, he owned 42 different bars, sometimes multiple bars at once. And he was what I like to call colorful. He was kind of a shady character in a lot of ways. And he would take matters into his own hands and do whatever it took to get what he wanted. And his philosophy that he used to tell us was, roses are red, violets are blue. You better screw your neighbor before he screws you.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was his mindset. He was not at all a Christian. My mom had grown up in the church, but she'd gotten really angry with God and turned away. And her first husband had been a minister. And when the marriage dissolved, so did her relationship with God, the church, and his people. And my stepmother grew up in a Catholic background, but she thought it was all fairy tales. So each one of them had really walked away from God and in a very deliberate way. And that topic was taboo with them.
Wow, that's something. So let me ask you a question. You had an experience of teaching your father to pray.
Yeah, he had a stroke. And in fact, he had a series of strokes. And he was left paralyzed from the neck down. And while he was in the rehab center, I would go and visit him, and I would try to go when nobody else was there so that I could have some private time with him. And this is a man who had never talked to me about God. He just said, if I walked into a church, lightning would strike. And I used to go sometimes and just listen to him tell stories about his life and the things that he'd experienced. Let him talk, get to know him at a different level. And one day when he was laying there, he began to cry. And he said, you know, I'm paralyzed, I can't do anything, and I don't want to be a vegetable. And God gave me boldness in that moment. I said, Dad, you're not a vegetable. You still have the ability to talk and think, and that's so much more than a lot of stroke victims have. But you're going to die. I don't know if you're going to die now, but you're going to die, and you're not ready. Maybe God has given you this chance to get right with him before your time comes. And he said, but I don't know how to talk to God.
Oh, wow.
So in that moment, I said, well, let's just do it. He goes, I don't know any prayers, because he was an Italian. He was brought up, as a nominal Catholic, and he thought you had to have a memorized prayer. So I said, you can just pray like you're talking to God. So I taught him to pray. I prayed, and then he prayed. And his wife used to tell me after that, you know, I come in the morning and find him praying. And my dad would, after that, when I'd come into his hospital room, he'd say, you know what? I talked to the skipper this morning. So he really developed a relationship with the Lord. And in fact, he did that kind of bargaining that a lot of us maybe have done when we're new Christians. And he said, Lord, if you'll heal me, I'll go to church for the rest of my life. And God healed him.
Wow.
He was able to walk even without a cane after that. And he did. He went to church for the rest of his life at a church that was pastored by someone who was my Sunday school companion when I was growing up.
What an amazing story.
That's really awesome.
You know, it's always, it seems like it's hardest to share Christ with those that are closest to us, such as family members. I've had that experience myself. My stepfather just died, and I know that I wanted to be by his bedside because he was not a believer at all. And it was so difficult because I wanted so badly to share, and I was waiting for that moment. In my case, the moment didn't come because he never woke up. And I feel so bad about that, although I know that I had, you know, tried to pursue him in other times. But, you know, people say, oh, he's in a better place. But you know what? I don't know that. I don't know he's in a better place. And that's sad for me, you know. So I encourage anyone that's listening to be bold, like Melody just said. Be bold. Wait for the moment, but be there to be in that moment. So that means spending time with these people when they're needing you most.
That's right. And Sue, about your stepfather, and I know we've talked about him before, we do need to trust that to the Lord, don't we? Because we don't know. We don't know fully what happened. We don't know in those moments how God can reveal himself to a person.
Yeah. So we'll just leave it there in the Lord's hands.
That's right.
You talk a lot about serving people, Melody. What are the best ways we can serve the dying?
Well, I think it's important for us to realize, first of all, that it is not our job to save someone who's dying, or to save anybody for that matter. But God can use us like an ointment in their life. He can use us to sort of lubricate things so that their hearts become receptive. And I think a lot of times it's important that we just find practical ways to connect with them. And so often we think that ministry is just about sharing the gospel, sharing the four spiritual laws, opening the Bible. But ministry comes in a lot of different forms. And I think it's really important that what we do is assess the situation, find out what the person needs, and then just fill that need. Because when we do that, we gain credibility, we gain trust, we gain a place in someone's heart. And if we do that, it's almost a guaranteed fact that at some point they'll let down their guard because they know we're safe. And they will open up to us and ask us questions. So we can do anything from mowing the lawn to baking cookies, bringing a meal, just sitting with a person, watching a TV show with them, any of those things. And I have in my book tools and an assessment that you can use to find some of the best ways for doing that.
So what I heard you just say is meeting people where they are. You know, not trying to be anything more, any less, just meeting people right where they are. And you used my favorite word, Melody, connect. Connect, 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 connect. So we're talking to Melody Rossi today, and it's so wonderful to have her with us. Her book is May I Walk You Home, Sharing Christ's Love with the Dying. And what an amazing time to have with someone. I have done this numerous times and been with someone, and it is such an amazing, amazing time. I sat with a lady who died of cancer, and I'd go and see her regularly, and we would share scriptures. Like, I wanted to know her favorite scriptures. I wanted to know what scriptures stood out for her. And her son asked me to talk about those scriptures at her funeral, and it was so amazing. And I asked her her favorite movie too, and I still haven't seen that movie, and I want to see that movie. But her scriptures were so amazing, because when someone's in that state and in that, you know, I want to know what that's like, you know, what's important at that time in our lives, because we'll all end up there. We're, you know,
right.
We're guaranteed that,
that's
that we
right.
are going to end up there. And so it's interesting to walk alongside and hold their hands and just be present. I bought her a cup of coffee and brought it in, and she said it tasted better than any cup of coffee she's ever had. Just a simple cup of coffee, but it was taking the time to be there where she was.
That's right.
So is there anything else, Melody, that you could say about the moments or anything that would encourage people to take the time out to go visit those people or be by them or be bold enough to say something?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. It's about connecting, and it's about being there when the time comes. And whether it's that cup of coffee or anything that we can do, it's a precious moment. It's like a doorway that God is opening up so that people's hearts are unlocked for Him to come in too. It's as if He becomes a friend that comes along with us.
Wow, how special. Melody Rossi, this is the Sue Freeze Show. This is Sue Freeze, KKLA 99.5, Intersection of Faith and Reason. The book is May I Walk You Home, Sharing Christ's Love with the Dying. This is Melody Rossi on the show with me today. So, Melody, tell me more about this book. Tell me about the book.
Well, Sue, the reason that I wrote the book is after my parents died so close, one after the other, people began to contact me and say, my mother's dying, my father's dying, my neighbor's dying. What do I do? They're not a Christian. What do I say? And I realized that most of us are ill-equipped for that. We think it's the pastor's job. Maybe we could just call the pastor and he can come over and get him saved before, you know, everything is over and he can close the deal. And I realized that most of us don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. And so I began to just compile some of the experiences, compile some of the conversations I had so that it could be inspirational to others in the same situation, but could also provide practical tools. And so it's really a combination of that. And I think that one of the most important things from my book is just encouraging people that you don't have to be really talented. You don't have to be a seminary student. You don't have to have gone to Bible college. Any ordinary person can really minister to the dying. And you can't imagine how many emails, phone calls, letters I've received from people who said, my father came to the Lord before he was before he died, or my neighbor accepted Christ. All of these things, we think so many times that people who have lived a whole lifetime without the Lord, we think it's too late for them. But as long as there is breath, there is hope. And my book is about, if you don't know what to say or do, here's some practical input about what to say and do.
I have read your book, Melody, and I can relate to so many things. One thing that I realized with my mother was that the family members, a lot of the times when someone is at that state, the people that are being left behind are the ones that are going to hurt the most. because they have to suffer that loss, you know, and that's a big loss, and there's stages to that. But I noticed that the family members didn't want to admit or acknowledge that death was on its way. And in the Catholic religion, when you call the priest in, it's kind of like letting everybody know, yeah, this is coming, you know. And so it kind of allows people to grasp with it a little bit. But when you don't have a priest coming because of other beliefs or whatnot, the thing is that family members, such as my sisters, they did not want to talk to my mother about the issue at hand. They didn't want to actually bring it up. Mom, you'll get better. Mom, you'll get better. Well, no. I'm not sure if my mom knew what stage she was at. I don't know if she did. All I know is that nobody wanted to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the name of the book is May I Walk You Home, Sharing Christ's Love with the Dying. This is Melody Rossi. She knew her choice was, I don't want to be sick anymore. I want to live my life as full as I can in the time left. I don't want to go through radiation. I don't want to do that because she just didn't want to. So she knew it was a decision she made that she had a certain amount of time left. So it wasn't difficult to talk to her about how she was feeling, what she was thinking, which was really just so incredibly intimate.
Mm.
And it was wonderful for her to be able to talk to me about it. She had a son. She didn't feel as comfortable because right. of the son's pain and the son's loss. But she could talk to me about it because I opened the door to say, it's okay.
Right.
You can talk to me about this. And what a wonderful gift. She told me it was a gift for me to be able to be there so she could express that she was scared, but she was ready and that she was mm-hmm. looking forward to going home to her father.
Oh, wow.
And if someone doesn't have that, then, you know, that's a whole nother thing.
Well, it's like any experience. We need to process it with people close to us. And even when people have come to peace with it, it's a new experience. And I think it's important for us to remember that as Christians, this world is not our home. And of all people, we should be the most comfortable with the concept of death, because really it's just a birthing process into the next life. And that's something that you probably saw with your friend. And I certainly saw that with my mother, especially during her time of dying. It was as though all the things she knew from her past when she'd grown up in a Christian home, it's like they all came back to her in this beautiful and profound and comfortable way. And by the time she died, and I was there when she took her last breath, it was as though I saw her just birthed into God's kingdom. And what a privilege that was.
Wow. Is that the story about the late night? Is there a story about a late night, or was that it?
It's a different story, actually.
Can you share that?
I'd love to.
Oh, good.
And this is a story about how ordinary things like bringing coffee can be so important. My husband and I had the privilege of moving my mother across the street from our house while she was dying. So she only lived there about 4 months, but we could ensure that she had her privacy and her independence, but still be there close to her if she needed any assistance. So that was a really good arrangement for us. And my husband even rigged up a little button that would ring our phone if she needed any assistance. But one night, I think God just woke me up, and I was praying for her, and I felt like, you know, I just need to go see her. She wasn't really close to death at that point, but she was failing, and she knew it. And so I told my husband, I'm going to go across the street, and I slipped out of bed. It was about 2 a.m, and I thought I would just check on her and make sure she was okay. So I quietly unlocked the door and crept into the home, and the minute I got in, I don't know if I startled her, she said, "Who's there?" And I said, "It's just me." And I walked into her bedroom and said, "Mom, I just came to check on you." And let me add that by that time, she wasn't really able to keep much solid food down. She had bladder cancer, and she'd been through chemo, and her system just wasn't working very well. The only thing that ever sounded good to her was ice cream. So here it is, 2 a.m, and I just went into her bedroom and said, "Mom, I just came to see if you'd like to have a little ice cream." And God bless her, she said, you know, I was just thinking about ice cream. So she got out of bed. We went into the kitchen and we, you know, broke out the butter pecan ice cream. And it was almost like having a slumber party. And before that, my relationship with my mom hadn't been a very good one. Mm. She was a dear person, but she was hard as nails. She was embittered because of the things that had happened in her life. And she was angry with God, and we know that sometimes that comes across as anger at Christians. So as she was dying, we were able to establish a totally different relationship than we'd had before. So there we were, 2 a.m, having a slumber party and ice cream at her house. And that showed her that I was there for her. I was thinking about her. And somehow it was back to that word you used. It was a connection. It was a connection. It was something meaningful to her. It was a small little thing. But it turned out to be one of the best memories, one of our last memories together, and how beautiful it was.
You know, there's so many, there's moments in time, just these little moments, little pictures or little vignettes that happen. And if you go over your life and you look at those memories, you know, they're just memories, but they're moments in time, and they're special. I can remember that too. In fact, it's funny because my mother, she used to say when I'd call her, she'd go, well, Susie, it's just a situation where, and I used to annoy me to no end. And I'd call her and I'd put the phone away from my ear and go, it's just a situation where, and I think, you know, and then after my mom died, it was like, I would have given anything to hear her just say one more time, well, Susie, it's just a situation where. So let me ask you another question. Some people do not believe that deathbed conversions are real. Do you ever feel it's too late for someone?
I don't think it's ever too late.
As long as there's breath.
As long as there's breath. And I think that the scripture teaches us. The scripture says God is not willing that any should perish.
Right.
And Sue, what I saw in my parents, it was as though I could look at their whole life. You know, now in retrospect, I went back and saw that God had in fact been wooing them, just like he woos us. It just took longer for them to say yes. And I don't think the Lord gives up on somebody just because they haven't received Christ by a certain point in life. To the contrary, he is doing everything to bring them, to win them, to show them his immeasurable, lavish love so that they can walk from this world into heaven. And I think sometimes as Christians, we think maybe we have some kind of special privileges because we're there. And all of us are on this journey to know the Lord. And if people take a whole lifetime to understand his lordship, I don't think it's too late just because they say yes at the very last moment.
This is Sue Fries on KKLA 99.5. You've been listening to Melody Rossi, the author of May I Walk You Home, sharing Christ's love with a dime. The reword for today is retry. Never, never, never give up. Thanks for listening, and we want you back Saturdays, 4 to 5, KKLA 99.5.
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Fries Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. Ah, springtime. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home. Your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.